Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR, DB.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, and health. First things first, happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. I know it's been a while since I've had my last show. I actually took a break because my daughter had a big break in her acting career. You know, she got really upset. She wanted to play Annie in her school play, but, you know, she was in third grade, and she was told that nobody got, like, big speaking roles until their fourth and fifth grade, so she didn't let that stop her. She actually went ahead and auditioned for The Lion King, and I'm like, well, what part playing The Lion King? She's like, you know, she wanted the main role. She's like, I want young Nala, and so did every other girl, like, in LA, right? So out of hundreds of people that tried out, she made it to the top 53. And then they shaved that down to the top 23, and she became one of those 23 and became Miss Young Nala. So yes, she did not let that stop her. You know, that just goes to show hard work pays off. She didn't let that, you know, she didn't give up on that. And I learned some things, too, along the way. You know, we worked every single day after school, going to practice, after work, going to practice every day. And she held it down. She did her thing. So shout out to my daughter because, it is Mother's Day, and I am a proud mom. She's amazing. She's my little world. And I learned some things, too. I actually, learned how to sew costumes. I was doing costume designing. I was doing makeup behind the scenes. Shout out to Cool Benson for teaching me how to do makeup professionally, or as professional as I could do it. but, you know, I want to thank everybody for, you know, continuing to listen to my podcast journey. I love doing this, so I appreciate everybody that stuck with me even through my break. We all need a break sometimes. But I had to be there for my daughter. So that was amazing. And I'm so happy I did that. So thank you to my daughter for showing me, like, perseverance. You know, she didn't give up. She was really upset, but she did not give up. And sometimes we can learn things from our kids, which is a beautiful thing. So without further ado, a few more shout-outs, and then we get right into the show because we have a lot of amazing guests here tonight. Shout out to health coach Mona, who joined in on my last show talking about detoxing and cleansing our amazing bodies. Thank you so much for all the amazing tips that you shared. You're always amazing on the show, and I really appreciate you. Can't wait to have you on here again. Last but not least, shout out to all the recent birthdays and all the mommies out there holding it down, especially mine. Mine is the best. I'm so biased. Like, she's amazing. Happy Mother's Day, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. All right, well, we have a full lineup tonight, so we're going to get right into it. But first, we got to get into some introductions. And, in fact, like, the person I'm about to introduce has not called on yet, so I'm going to kick his butt. I can see who's on here, on the line here. But I'm not seeing him. But So you know what? I'm going to skip over him for a second because I don't see him calling in right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and skip over him for a second. And I'm going to bring in somebody that introduced me actually to him. Without actually this person, I would have never, ever, ever met the guest I was about to introduce. This guest is from New Jersey. He actually came out to the West Coast to create his empire. He's a CEO and founder of Hoop Shots, and he's an entertainment career coach. He has a huge platform. He's casted many elite basketball players and models into films, television shows, commercials, and many other projects. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce to you Mr. Vic Battle. Vic, you are live on air. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's popping, everybody? How y'all doing? And happy Mother's Day. It's all about the moms. Love is love. Happy Mother's Day to the moms.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. You know, it's kind of cool because let me tell everybody how we know each other, and then I'll bring in our next guest before, like, our main event. I see the main event on the line, but I'm going to kick the other person's butt for not calling on time. I just got off the phone with him. But, Vic, we know each other from, you know, you casted me, actually. You gave me a shot in Hollywood, like, when I first moved out here, which is really cool because my background is actually, I have a master's degree in sports management kinesiology. And part of my internship, I was like I worked for the Golden State Warriors. And then I became a ESPN2 reporter for a local sports break. And then after that, I joined the Clipper team and worked in sales there with Donald Sterling, which was really fun. And then throughout all of that, I did a lot of coaching of camps and such. And so you saw my talent, you interviewed me. You saw my pictures and you were like, hey, how about if you come out and host this street ball tournament? I'm like, huh, that sounds interesting. And I've never done anything like that because I've always worked with like NBA. So you kind of actually introduced me to the entire like sport of street ball, which I really didn't know much about. So I thank you for that.
It's all good.
You know, so, you know, this other person is not on here yet, so I'm going to go ahead and you know who I'm talking about. I'm going to go ahead and actually introduce the main event tonight. This person really doesn't need too much of an introduction. Like, his name alone, people know who he is because he's created an amazing name for himself. You've done a lot of work with him, Vic. He's amazing. He's an international veteran street baller and just all-around performer on the court, homegrown here, grew up in Pasadena, California, and went to the University of Nevada, Reno. He's a top scorer, penetrator, and distributor who is difficult to guard and a super threat to anyone, to any defense, right? I've watched so much tape on him. It's ridiculous. Like, he is just amazing. In addition, you know, he's also a fearless leader who is a philanthropist. You know, he's confident. He's got good, messages to kids. And I just can't wait for him to share his story tonight. So let's bring him on next. Mr. Sick With It, you are live on air. How you doing tonight?
I'm actually doing really well. I didn't know I had all those accolades. I appreciate you shouting me out and introducing me like that. So, yeah, I'm doing really well.
Awesome, man. Awesome. You are just absolutely amazing. And you have so many different people following you because you kind of created this name for yourself that, you know, you're kind of like that self-made person. I can't wait to, like, share your story tonight. So I really appreciate you taking the time, Mr. Big Time, being on Miss Tammy's TKO radio show. And
no, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me.
Aw, thank you. You know, and now I see the person who introduced me to you, who I'm going to kick his butt because he was supposed to go before you. I guess he wanted to try to show you up. So I'm going to go ahead and put him on right now and talk some smack to him directly, Mr. Inches. I'm not even going to introduce you now because you're late.
Hello? Am I in?
Yeah, you're in, man.
I'm so sorry. You know, teacher, I got a tardy excuse. You know, the dog ate my homework, so I had to bring up another flyer and this and the other, you know, because I had all my questions and stuff like that for Thick Waiter and a big battle, and then the dog already ate it, so I had to, like, you know, run late, sign some things up, for, you know. But what up, Miss Tammy? Sick Waiter!
Yes. If y'all don't know
about the S and I and the I and S, boy, y'all, I'm gonna tell y'all, the Sick Waiter and the Inches and the Inches and the Sick Waiter, man, it's about to go down 2022, 2023, 2000, you know, the sports industry as far as the basketball, street ball, you know, took it to a whole new different level to where we've been recognized. We've been recognized as icons, as inspirations. Not icons as an ego, because we don't have no ego. We're very humble about ourselves. You know, we've been through the dirt and the grind of the hood, you know, being raised by our moms, grandmothers, you know, just a lot of stuff. And for us to become, well, first, God put us in that category, and we have to follow that journey. And here we are. I miss you, my dog. No, I miss you, doggy dog.
Man, you know what it is, man. I'm, like I said, Inches, man. I'm real humble when it comes to it. But, you know, Tammy gave me a nice introduction, man, and I appreciate that. So I'm just trying to live it on and keep it going. You know, we got our own facility, our own gym in Carson, California right now. We might be doing some other things. But we at the lab on 1533 East Delamo, Carson, California. Holla at your boy. Tammy, I just did a movie with the boy Nick Cannon. You know what I'm saying? Called She Ball.
What?
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
My boy,
yeah.
Vic Battle right here on the other line, though. Vic Battle got me to audition for White Men Can't Jump 2, and it seems like they hit my email. They may be interested, so I'm trying to get in that. I need some lines. I'm trying to do the parts for all these historical events that we got cracking. But like I said, I'm sick with it on the court and off the court. Let's do it. You heard me?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. See,
well,
that's what's up.
Wait a minute. I heard a deep voice. I thought I only had a deep voice. Is that Big Battle, aka Lorenzo, with the show coming out called Sean King? You know what I'm saying? Is that Teddy Ace with the movie about to come out? Premiere of Teddy
Ace?
You know? Man. Everybody. Y'all guys don't know about these people, boy. I tell you, boy. Sick with his Big Battle, Hoop Shot. I mean, you know. We got more people out there in the Connect Los Angeles area. You know, I ain't going to say, you know, a lot of names like Bone Collector. I'm, you know, the list goes on and on, but, you know. What's happening, Vic?
I want to ask this, though. So, Vic, you connected me, right? And then I met Inches because I interviewed Inches on the court, right? But how do you all know each other? Like, let's talk about how we all know each other.
Well, this is Sick With It. I say it like this, keeping it 100. Basketball is a small world, even though it's big, you know. But me and Inches, we connected a long time ago, over 30 years ago, you know what I'm saying? And we connected through the industry, through basketball, period, through his acting career, him doing commercials all over the world. We went back to Joe Torre and all these foundations So, but then when Vic was doing his thing, Vic saw something positive in me, and Vic being the person that he is from New Jersey, that New Jersey love just spread it out to me. And he came and got at me like, man, you know, I see where you at and I see you doing your thing, but bro, why don't you follow and help follow this direction? Something I see you doing. So Vic, just the love that he had, he saw some vision in me and wanted me to come in and put him on and believe in him. So that was an extended family. So it's all just family. It's all about how people perceive and see somebody else in one level, and they try to bring them on to another level. And in the street ball industry and basketball world, it just all coincided together, Tammy.
Exactly.
That's what's up. You know, I love the fact that, you know, you guys, like, put street ball on the map because, you know, that's a whole other world. Like, I came from the NBA world of working for the NBA, but when I came out to Southern California, I moved my way from, like, Oregon to the Bay. I spent some time in the East Coast, but really, like, here in L.A. is where I got introduced to the game of street ball through Vic, and then it just exploded. Like, I see, like, Venice Beach, there's, like, all these different, you know, things going on. Like, what got you motivated, Sick, to get into, you know, street ball? Like, what's your story? Like, how did that even intrigue you to get into street ball? Like, what motivated you there?
Well, being honest with you, the motivation was just basketball alone, because me being from Pasadena, California, I knew nothing about street ball. Street ball to me was everyday hoop that wasn't the NBA, or everyday hoop that wasn't college, everyday hoop that wasn't high school. That's what street ball was to me. So for them to label it in the East Coast and, you know, a nucleus of six or seven guys that had a company to back them from all different parts of the boroughs in New York, they came together with an idea, and it made street ball be a job. It made street ball become a job for people that didn't have a different avenue to make it to the NBA. So that's all street ball was. And then when they labeled it to be a tour, and they labeled it to become you can make some money behind it, then street ball became, oh, wow, you can make some money in street ball. But that still didn't take away the ultimate goal, and the ultimate goal was the NBA. And since those that couldn't make it to the NBA, we were fortunate to have something else to fall back on. So my motivation was the East Coast guys came to L.A., and they were starting the tour, and I heard they had a tryout in 2001, and I was in the gym working out in Pasadena. I didn't even have a car at the time. And somebody asked me, hey, man, have you heard about this N1 basketball game that's going to be happening on Saturday? And I was like, nah. He was like, well, I'm going to the tryout right now. You want to go? I said, I don't have no ride, bro. He said, I'll drive you. He takes me in his car from Pasadena all the way to L.A. to Bel Air Park, and it was over 3,000 people outside playing basketball, and another 500 with Paul Pierce and all the NBA guys inside the gym. But you didn't know that those guys was in the gym because you were outside. So you had to get for them to like you to play outside for you to get into the big building, which was inside. So I'm thinking, like, they telling me Paul Pierce is outside. I'm like, Paul know me, bro. Tell him to come outside. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't no free game. Nobody wasn't coming to get you. I had to really try out and get on and do my thing. And then so the guy was like, yeah, no, bro, stop running up and down. Show these people what you really can do. So that's when I had about 4 or 5 crossovers. So I started showing them that side of me. I played well. Then I got inside the building. And when I got inside the building, it changed my life.
Wow.
Amen.
That's cool. I mean, that 3,000 people, that is incredible.
That 3,000 dropped to like 500. Then they had another day tryout, and that 500 dropped to 25. And that 25 went to 15. And that 15 had to play against Main Event, Half Man, Half Amazing, Headache, Shane Dribbling Machine, Hot Sauce, his debut, AO, Aircraft, and that was it.
Yeah.
And after I got on, then 92.3, the beat put on that game in L.A. Southwest, August 18, 2001, I got on right then, and then I became who Sick With It is today.
That's the
same.
That was a world tour.
It's
like where you have, like you went everywhere, right? Like, what are some of the coolest places that you went on that tour?
You know, the fight really was the hood for me early. I'm going to just cut it down real quick because they only signed me to a 3-day contract. And that 3-day contract after that L.A. game, was Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and New York. And when I went to Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, I put on a show, but then I had a mistake move in New York, but it worked, and it happened to be on Skip to My Lou at Riverbank. And after I did a move to Skip to My Lou, that's when everybody started realizing who I was. So then they signed me to a yearly contract. And then when I got on the yearly contract, I started traveling all over the world. But now to answer your question, some of the – besides Europe and Europe alone, period, I've been to the Cayman Islands. I've been to Jamaica. I've been to the Bahamas, all because of an orange, black basketball. But the Cayman Islands was amazing to me. Milan, Italy was amazing to me. The food, the people. It was like I'm in Germany and I'm having a beer with like a 14-year-old. Just the whole culture, everything is just different. You know, so that's funny to me, you know, because I'm from over here and you got beer at Paris, France? You got beer at McDonald's? I've never heard of that.
24 hours.
Totally different. And the crazy thing is, like, who would have ever knew, like, you going to that one tryout that somebody talked you into? And that's really motivation for everybody, all listeners tonight, too, because, like, you just never know where your shot is. You know what I mean? You're taking that one shot to change your entire life. And one thing I love about you that I hear in, a lot of your interviews and things, that you come from Boys and Girls Club, sick. And I think that that's so cool because my daughter's in Boys and Girls Club. In fact, this year, we were in this other after-school program for 3 years, and all of a sudden, they through the pandemic, they cut people down, and they didn't even ask us to come back. And I was like, what's going on? It was like 1 week before school. I just started a new job. I'm freaking out. And I didn't have nowhere for my daughter to go after school with a new job. Like, it was really, really scary. And all of a sudden, the Boys and Girls Club took me in so quickly. And it was the best move because, number one, it's less expensive. Number two, it comes with so many more benefits. She's actually doing acting lessons, dancing. I mean, she has all these different cool things. I never even knew. My dad and my uncle were a part of Boys and Girls Club, and that's where they learned how to box, and they kind of had a hard street life growing up in the East Coast in D.C. And I got into boxing too because we were rough in our house. We had all brothers and sisters, so we were rough. But, like, Boys and Girls Club really kind of has really helped my daughter, you know, get out of her shell, and now she's doing main parts and, you know, Nickelodeon and Disney. And you know what I'm saying? Because of, I really feel like Boys and Girls Club kind of brought her out of her shell. Like, what has it done for you? Is like, talk about that, please.
It's the best thing that has ever happened to me personally. And this is Robin Sick-Witty Kennedy. I can't tell you where I would be without the Boys and Girls Club. The Boys and Girls Club wasn't just boys and girls. It was a family place. It was where we learned how to do everything in one facility. And if you did wrong, you were disciplined. If somebody else saw you doing something wrong, they would check you. It was really like a family-type event. So I learned how to do basketball, baseball, football, tennis, soccer, dodgeball, arts and crafts, singing, playing the piano, instruments. I learned everything in my life. I learned a part of it at the Boys and Girls Club of Pasadena, California, 2020 North Fair Oaks, McKenzie Scott Branch. I'll never forget it. I even know the phone number that was still there. It's crazy. So me going worldwide right now, my give backs to the Boys and Girls Club, we do camps, we do clinics, we bring some of the sparks on every now and then. Me and my agent, Loretta Abrams, she's one of the best agents in the world. She's doing her thing right now. Jamila Frierson. I got agents, man, people that's working for me hard. I got things that are up and coming. Do this thing. Shout outs, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying the Boys and Girls Club, I'm doing a camp there. Matter of fact, in a few months, we're doing a give back. I got a camp tomorrow from 5 to 8 with the Bone Collector at the lab. And that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come out if you want to come out, kids. Come. I'm giving it away. I'm showing you how to dribble. I'm showing the IQ of the court. I'm showing you how to be a leader on and off the floor. I'm teaching you how to do the right thing, even when sometimes we wake up and we want to do the wrong thing. We're teaching men how to be men, the boys how to be better boys, and boys how to become men. You know what I'm saying? And the girls, too. Mm. We got the girls coming, Tammy. The girls is coming out. I got a girl that shot 25 shots, Tammy. She made 19 out of 25 the other day. You should have seen the smile on her face.
What?
So we yes, we giving back. I've got these girls dribbling, shooting. I got to shout the girls out because they'll be co-sick. You didn't say nothing about us yesterday. We was listening. No, I got to shout out my girls that I'm training. Everything, Tammy, it's going down. Like I said, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than basketball. It's a family.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to come together and do what we can.
That's amazing. Uh-huh. That's absolutely. I love to hear that. Like, please let me know about that too. My daughter was in a basketball camp and loved it, but she was so little she could barely, like, you know, get it up to the rim, like, on a regular court. I mean, when they're really little, it's hard, but I think it's so amazing what you do. And a lot of girls, actually, they're more developed earlier than boys. Like, they grow up, I mean, I used to teach. My trade first was like a teacher, like straight out of college, like high school to college. I was a teacher. And what I learned is, like, a lot of the girls were ahead of the boys until about sixth grade when they changed. But a lot of girls were really good. I fooled a lot of people when I had the Golden State Warriors camps that I was coaching. I was the only female coach at Otis Smith's camp. And I had his daughter on my team, and I did like one of your moves. I've seen you do a move like similar to this where you pretend you're like, I'm standing up right now, like showing you, like you can see me right now on the podcast. But, like, you know how you do like an overhead pass, right? But you like fake it, pump back, and then boom, you let it go roll down the back of your neck. And then you bump it with your booty, right? And you pass it, and then boom. So it's right under the bucket, and boom, you know, it's over. So we won the entire camp with that shot right there. And I was clowning because I'm like the shortest one there, like 5'7". Everybody's like 6'5", and you know what I mean? Like all these like college and NBA players. And here I am, stole the show with a little trick move. And that's what basketball can do. It's not – you know, I know that you've toured, like, with the Harlem Globetrotters, which is huge because you can learn a lot of tricks and things there. But, like, I feel like you teach the tricks to them because I've traveled. I was blessed to travel, like, for a season doing a report with my kinesiology, sports management. Like, I had an assignment where I had to go to all the arenas and put the layout down and how do arenas do their business and blah, blah, blah. But it was so fun. It was a fun experience. The most fun part was, you know, of course, watching the game, but it's always the same game every time. But, like I was talking to Inches earlier, and we were like, street ball is not the same game every time. You can't put the same move out there every time because people will know, right? They know.
They know what
you're going to do.
Yeah, you had to change it up every day. And then plus the fans were kind of, you know, they street ball fans. They street people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like seeing the same thing over and over. We had to pique their interest. We had to give them something, some drama to be able to watch. You know, but back to what you was talking about the girls, I train girls every day. I train the guys, and the girls do mature faster, and they shoot a little bit better than the guys do. But it's a lot more pressure on the guys because if a girl hits 18 shots in front of you, you're more nervous trying to beat her so bad that you're going to embarrass yourself. So it's funny, though. I watch it all the time how girls are 16 years old and they're in there shooting better than a 19-year-old guy, and he's wondering why. I'm like, girls just mature faster. Their mind is just different when it comes to certain things. Don't fight it. Just understand it. But now, yeah, we can get physical and win, but, yeah, that hurts when a guy loses to a woman when they're shooting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's no joke. Like, when you, as an adult, when you play with the guys, it's no joke. Because there used to be this park in Sunnyvale. You know, in my 20s, I would go over there and I would shoot at the park with the guys. And I took an elbow one day to the face, and I was like, oh, my God, I think I'm done here. Because it was like, I used to go there all the time. But they started treating me like I was one of the dudes. And I was like, that hurt. So, like, when it gets physical, it becomes a different story. But you're absolutely
even
right.
Even in the You know, even in the WNBA, if you watch it, the girls are more fundamentally sound than the guys. It's just, it's just different. I remember not even basketball. I remember during the pandemic, I went to a Panda Express, And remember during the Panda Express, you couldn't, during the pandemic, you couldn't go in the stores. You had to wait outside. And there was a Panda that the ladies had run.
Mm-hmm.
It was like it was in a magazine. It was just like everything in it was perfect. And, you know, it's just like that. And like I said, I watch WNBA. The girls do everything the correct way. They're going to go, they shoot with the right hand at the right time. Dribble, it's just more fundamentally sound. It's different.
Yeah, it's true. I wish that, you know, one of that broke apart, say, one of my jobs was going to Warriors. I had to actually pull all the fans down from the top level down to the bottom level just to fill the stands up. And this was a this is like Canada versus, you know, this is like a big, this is a big game. And I had to pull the fans down so that the media could see a full house. And I was like, that was so sad to me because I'm like, these girls work really, really, these ladies, they work very, very hard. But then I saw like Lisa Leslie, it was like this big all-star. It was this big game. And Lisa Leslie went in and dunked. And then I was like, darn it, like, why aren't you doing that? But she never did it in the game. And I was like, Lisa, like, she could do it legit and look amazing. But she never did it in the game. I'm like, man, that would boost the numbers up, you know, in the audience if more people would watch it. But yeah, I mean, I wish women had more props in sports. But I think that they've come a long way. From where they were to where they are today, I think that women have came a long way. And I'm happy to hear men, you know, like you guys, that are professionals, like boosting them up because we, you know, women need that. Women need that recognition, you know, out there on the court. So that's really positive that you're, you know, uplifting and encouraging young girls and women. And people are texting and blowing my phone right now, phone up right now saying, yes, you know, so everything you guys are saying and that, you know, I like that women are focused and a lot of people are texting me right now. But, no, I really appreciate that. But, you know, I want to go back to this. Sick, you were talking about, we were talking about trick moves, right? Like, where do you even come up with this stuff? Like, is it a dream and it comes to you? How do you come up with this crazy stuff that you do? Like, seriously.
I'm going to be honest with you. For me, I really wasn't a trick guy. I played the game the correct way, and not to say tricks isn't the correct way, but I'm saying, well, let me be clear. Basketball was fundamental for me. It came natural to me. The tricks, I went somewhere and I learned that. I learned how to do what they call a ream at the Globetrotter tryout. But tricks, I don't know. I mean, but throwing the ball between the legs or throwing it off the head or throwing it around a person, I learned all that stuff. I was a real West Coast point guard. I played strong. I played fundamentally sound. But when I got with those East Coast guys over there and I got with Hot Sauce and all my East Coast players that I played with N1, I was watching those guys and I branched off a lot of things from Shane, the dribbling machine. I branched off from Hot Sauce. I took it from Headache and AO, like Headache. Headache, when he, all that stuff he was doing with the ball, he was doing it like he was dancing, like he heard music in the background. Style was different. So I learned that I could kind of be stylish spinning the ball and slinging it around my arm and around my body, but still do it to the beat without traveling. And the crowd loves it. They find entertainment in it. And then I can mix that into me playing fundamental. Got to get more attention brought my way, and that's what I did. God had me realize this is how you reach the fans. That's why when you said that you had to bring the fans down, and we did that many times. We had to bring the fans down, but we wasn't embarrassed. We didn't care if it was one fan there or 10,000. We was going to show that one fan the appreciation of them buying that ticket to come out to see what we do.
Mm, I love that. See, I love that. I think that's really important, you know, because right now out there you have a lot of fans that are, you know, it's different. Like when you, I hate to compare, but like when you see like football fans versus like basketball fans, whole different thing. Like if somebody gets injured in a football game, they take a knee and everybody's silenced. Like you can hear a pin drop. Everybody, even if it's the other team that you can't stand, you can hear a pin drop. Everybody's very respectful. But in basketball, somehow, lately it's there's been a lot of fans that have not been so nice, you know. And I mean, I watch First Take all the time. Like, Stephen A. Smith is my guy. I love him. I don't always agree with him, but I love him to death. He's like one. He's my favorite. I really like Stephen A. Smith a lot. And you know, you see, you know, different players. You know, even like Draymond Green. Like, he gets injured, like bad. Like, he's bleeding, and his own fans are booing him in a stadium. And it's like, and then he retaliates and he does something, and now everybody's looking at him crazy, but he was in the moment. Nobody can say that I could have, should have, would have done something. You don't know what you're going to do in that moment. But I love the fact that no matter what, you know, your fans are your fans, right, at the end of the day. And you got to be true to them and good to them, because they're the ones that buy that ticket. So I love hearing you say that it doesn't matter, that one fan out in the audience that's watching, you're still going to put that show on for that one ticket, because you never know who that one person is that could change your life. Like, what happened mm-hmm. with you? You know what I mean? And one, all these people, there were people in that audience, you know, that believed in you. And that's why you became who you are, because you had the opportunity. Not, number one, you had the talent, right? Let's not forget that. You had to work for that, right? You had the talent. But at the same time, somebody believed in you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. His name was Harold Jones. His name was Harold Jones. But I'll say it out loud. Harold Jones, I appreciate you giving me a tryout, a show out, and, you know, acting like, you know, you believed in me. But after that, yeah, it was a domino effect, Tammy. I couldn't have done it on my own. Like I said, God blessed me with the ability. But it was for me to be, like Eminem said, what you going to do when it's your first time to shine? What you going to do? You can't let this opportunity pass you. This is all you got right now.
Mm-hmm.
You barbecue or meal doing. I barbecue.
That's right. That's right. I know that's right. Because, you know, like he says, you only get one shot. You know?
That's it.
It's your, that's opportunity, it. And that's it. That's it. If you don't, a lot of times in life, you have that one shot. So what do you got to do? You got to stay ready so you ain't got to get ready, right? Yeah, I mean, you got
exactly.
You got to always. You always got to stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. So that means like, on the court, off the court. So it's like you're not on a, per se, a team right now. What do you do to stay in shape, you know, for your camp, for the opportunity? When that next call, what do you do?
Well, honestly, I'm in the gym every day, Tammy. Even though I'm not playing currently, I am in a basketball league, a 35 and over. I still have been blessed to play in the Drew League, and that's just the summer. I probably won't play this year because I'm 48 years old. They're looking for another point guard. But I've still been blessed to play this game for a long time. But the kids, Tammy, when I'm giving back to the kids and I'm training them in dribbling and how to go between the legs and behind the back and a spin move and all these old moves, how to shoot, keep your elbow tucked, how to slide your feet without bringing your feet together, sometimes they don't believe me. So I have to show them that I'm able to tell them what to do because I know how to do it. So you got to teach a kid in the which way that it should go. But at the same time, these kids these days, they like, man, you got to show me. I don't believe you. You know, back when we was growing up, Tammy, it was your parents tell you to do something, you better get out there and go do it right then and there. But now these kids is like, can you do what you telling me to do? So I have to check up with them, Tammy. I got to play. Okay, let's play one-on-one. After no more training, no more. If you think you don't need me to train you, we don't have to train. We can play now. You know everything. So I play them one-on-one, Tammy, and it ain't too many of them that's going to beat me. So I stay in shape that way. That's the way I stay in shape. I'm a walking dog. I just walk like I'm outside. Yes. You feel me? I'm not playing no games, Tammy. This is the only life God's given me, and I got to do it to the best of my ability.
Because I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I love that. I love that. I love your mentality. Kids, some of these kids are no joke. I know when I was boxing and watched, the coach would put, like, four kids in each corner, like, you know, 18-year-old, 16-year-old, 15-year-old. Like, he put four guys in each corner, and he would call a name. And I didn't know these kids either, by the way. And he'd come out and box me, and I didn't know which direction they were coming out of. And then he'd call the next person. I was just going round for round for round for round for round, just, like, kept nonstop. And they gave me a run for my money. Like, it kept me, like, live, alive because I was like, okay, do or die. Like, I'm not going to let these kids beat me. But at the same time, I'm learning and I'm keeping my skill up because some of these kids are really, really amazing. They're all amazing. And they teach you something, but you're right. You know, these kids can keep you young. You know, they keep you on your toes. I love that. That's really cool feedback. You know,
Sammy, you know what's more funny about the kids? The kids, what I realize with the kids, like, kids realize when you're being fake with them. And the kids that I come across, they want to know if you really care about them. They want to know, you know, this conversation that you're having with them, is it real or is it fake or you just wasting conversation? These kids detect that fast. So you got to be 100 with extra zeros with these kids. They can read that. They don't like nobody fake talking to them all day long and the stuff that you're talking about they can't relate to. So off the rip, I try to get on their level. I try to let them know I care about them. Somebody loves them. And the way that I'm going to show you this love is with a little bit of physicality because we're going to go at it. We're going to get better. We're going to work hard within your way, but know that your way is not going to be the right way unless you implement my way into it.
Yeah, because, you know, the only way that people are going to get better in life, this is anything in life, is if you hang out with somebody that's doing something better than you, right? You got to hang out with Champs to become one because you got to get to that next level. You can't hang out with Chump to the next level. You got to hang out with Champs so that it will elevate you to try to, like, want to work harder, right? Like, that's the only way. So when they see you, they think they got something, right? Maybe they beat their, you know, their friends on the court. But then they come up against you. They maybe pull a couple moves or whatever, and then you show them up, and you're like, oh, they're like, okay, cool. I got work to do. And that shows respect. That's that respect, you know, and then they learn. But you're right. I like what you just said. I mean, kids are very – I feel like they're smarter nowadays. For some, I don't know how, but they're smarter nowadays. They figure you out really quick. Like at my daughter's play, this one kid, I was like, you are so good. Like, you're amazing. You're a pro up there. Da, da, da. And he was like, you're just saying that because you're a parent. I was like, dang. Like that.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. You're obligated to say that, buddy.
Yeah, that kid talk to you like that. That kid must be drinking Starbucks in the morning, not cereal.
I know. I was like, moms are supposed to say that. I was like, okay.
Well, they do feel that way, though, because, you know, when I was in Jersey, I was a school teacher before I come to California. And I remember the kids used to feel like because you're getting paid, they don't really respect or count what you're saying because you're doing it as a job. And so as a teacher, that's kind of, that was the kid's perspective. So unless you was dealing with them, like sick with it and doing outside of that structure, and they know that you're investing your own time. You know, sick with it at the gym, you know, he's not on the clock. There's no way he's on the clock all that time. So, and they know that he's there on his time, and there's a rapport. And then, you know, actually, that's kind of my thing with sick with it and all of you guys. I'm older than all y'all, and that's one of the things I respected. I always wanted to have a rapport with y'all, and you know, because even just dealing with Quickwood and dealing with Inches, these are guys that are elite athletes, and elite athletes take their basketball serious and personal, and they don't really share that with people, and that's why I was always honored that the fact that Quickwood would even give me the opportunity to work with him with his gifts. And Inches with their gifts, and that's what it's about. These kids don't want to. They don't. You know, you gotta be sincere. You gotta be sincere. So, and they grew up with Google. And that's why they're smart. We ain't grew up with Google.
Yeah.
You know, no.
No joke. I mean, they like. My daughter was like teaching me how to do a Zoom, and you know, she was teaching me. We know when that's our new world, you know, the virtual world, Google Meet, Zoom, you know, Microsoft Teams, all that kind of stuff, right? But my daughter was teaching me things like, oh, I don't have to put my lipstick on. I can put this little filter on. And boom, there you go. So, like, yeah, these kids, they know so much from the internet and all of that. But, two, we got to watch out what we, you know, what we expose them to, too, because there's, you know, there's things that are not good on the internet as well. But, and that's where it comes, like, camps and all the things that you guys are doing, you know, off the court, in terms of, like, not doing things in your own career of playing, but you're giving back to the community. And, you know, I know Inches, I want to get to you too a little bit about, you know, about slam ball. I mean, you put that on the map. So talk about, like, how you were, I think you were doing and one, and then just as you were leaving and one, that's when Sigwittit came in, right?
Well, yeah, because I started being in the camp, but before it came slam ball or smash ball. And that was in within 1998, 99. At that time, I was coming back from New York, and a street ball thing was going on out there, you know. But when I came back home, I ended up meeting Aaron Cecil Smith and the Hightower Clans, and this was before they was even bringing a tour to the table. And then it was like, you know, they bring some high elite, you know, athletes, which was cool, you know, which was great, you know. But I said, well, I can't compete against all these athletes. There's a 12-man roster. Not only you don't know about the other six that put down the records for a good long while. You know, you got Speedy James Williams, you got Booger, you got A-Train, you know, you know, besides, you know, A-Town, Franklin, you know, Shane, Future, you know, you got a lot of hairs. But then, you know, when it was like, they give me a contract and they tell me, you know, this is how it is going to be, and I was like, whoa, oh, no, man, really? That's right there. I said I could pay with Nike being sponsored with Nike than what y'all doing. And we're not obligated to get any pay for our name and our likeness doing commercials with and one. We can't get no pay for that. Well, first of all, I'm SAG. So anything I do, I have to get paid. Otherwise, you guys get sued. So that's when the contract was like, okay, all right, there it is. We can't use him. And then when I end up coming back, you know, coming to meet Mason, because Mason was telling me about this futuristic trampoline thing called Smash Ball, then that was like, okay. This was a replacement of the AM1 thing. But then when I end up getting the contract with Slam Ball, that's when I heard, I said, well, I'm wondering how AM1 doing. And as you know, I said, nigga, sick with it. I said, sick with it? You mean Robin Kennedy? You mean sick with it? I said, oh, that's my fault. Get it sick. I said, man, I remember they wouldn't even let a West Coast. They was kind of hating on me because Speedy James Williams, that was my cousin, but they was hating on me because I was from the West Coast. I said, sick, get it. Please get him. Get him badly. And then, you know, sick. Then, you know, you got Bone. Then you got, you know what I'm saying, you know, Ben Master. You know, a lot of my family, you know what I mean? You know, was representing. And I was like, yeah. So, you know, no disrespect, East Coast, you know, love you guys, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, at first I wasn't giving the West Coast any kind of open doors, but, you know, sick was one of them, you know, and that was what we respected. And then I was like, cool, sick, take this and one street ball, and I'm going to take slam ball, and we're going to combine this. Not knowing that we all family. We're gonna kill them. But yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but you know,
and
just
like, to all, that vibe, like, together on the court, like, you know, when you go to Venice or when you play together, because I know you guys do, you know, celebrity games together and street ball, like,
mm-hmm.
just you know, do you feel like you have that rhythm that, you know, just because you've been playing with each other for a while, like what's that chemistry like on the court?
It's a chemistry on the court? Okay, this is interesting. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now off the bat. You know, I love Sick with it, you know what I'm saying? You know, he gets mad at me because I'm not like the old me. But, you know, Sick with it, used to just bounce it off the wall, you know what I'm saying? And I just jump and get it. I'm at that age and I can't do that no more. and he gave me that Sick with it look, not the Rob K look, the Sick with like, oh, man, just. But, you know, always whenever I'm on the court with Sick, boom, you know. Any of my family that I've been playing ball with or been in the industry with for a very long time, it's just, you know, it's more than the honor of playing. It's just, you know, it's like playing with an NBA legend, put it that way. You know, it's always fun. It brings back memories to where it's never going to end. And we also make, you know, and we also made an impact, you know, so far as in the street ball world, as far as extreme world, as far as uplifting young athletes, to giving them an opportunity. So
how about you? I like that. How about you, Sigwitt? Like, what? How has it been like playing with Inches on the court? Like, what's that chemistry like? Because you guys have known each other for years.
It's more like you said, it's family. So it's, you just know what a person does. You know what a person used to do. And you know what you need him to do. Because one thing I say about Inches that I love about him, he's going to do whatever it takes on the court to win the game. And I don't care if he's hustling hard, rebounding, dunking on you, because he used to dunk on cats a lot. He still was dunking 2 years ago. He's 50-something right now. So he has impeccable he's in impeccable shape. He just hurt himself here lately, but he's a hell of a guy. His IQ is high on the court. I could throw him the ball and know he's going to make the right decision. We just played in a game the other day, a celebrity game. He was on the winning team. He called me and asked me, could I get him in the game? I got him in the game. And God just so had it in our life that we shared and had a wonderful, beautiful day, entertained the crowd. You know, are you not entertained? That's what we was yelling at him, Tammy. I'm telling you, we had a good day, you know. The husband and housewives or whatever, they came out. We had a beautiful day, but tonight we was on the winning team. Big shout out to my boy RMM, Big Percy. You know what I'm saying?
Big Percy.
And we came through, Tammy. But yeah, we gelled. I throw Inches the ball. He does what he does. He makes other people on the court better. He's smart out there. So it's not that we go back on the old days. I just know who he is, so I know I can trust him to do the right thing. So we gel all the time. Even if we have Vic battle, he's talking about he old right now, but Vic's the first person I saw playing high top New York Timberlands.
Timberlands, I tell you.
Wow. Was dunking in them, Tammy. He was dunking in his Timberlands. You know what I'm saying? So we was, who was this dude out here playing at Tennessee outside of some Timberlands, you know? So it's just a, you know, it's just a vibe, like these kids say, it's just a vibe, it's a connection, you know, no cap, we just come together and we just gel, and we play the game the right way, so when you play the game the right way, the best way.
That's what's up.
You guys have played in several, like, celebrity games. Who are some celebrities out there that you could give shout-outs that really can play, like not just, I'm not talking about NBA player. I'm not talking about professional athletes. I'm talking about actors and singers and rappers. Who out there can really ball for real that's not really a professional basketball player?
All right, I'll go first. This is Sick with it. I'll give my boy Rome Flynn some love, the dude that plays in How to Get Away with a Murder. His name is Rome Flynn. I'll give Common, the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Common really can hoop. My boy Chris Brown.
Really?
Chris Brown got game.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Antoine Tanner,
yeah, my boy from Sunset Park and my boy from 1-2 Year, Antoine Tanner. He can play. They called him Drano. He played in a few movies, so basketball movies. Who else? So Snoop Dogg, my boy Snoop, to get out there.
Snoop Dogg
to get out there and do his thing.
I'm
missing a few, because there's a few out there. Master P, I don't know Snoop. Master P could play.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yeah, Romeo.
Yeah, little Romeo.
One of my good friends, Brian McKnight, he can hoop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was really getting it in. Yeah, Brian
Flakes
McKnight
is cool. Flakes is cool.
Hey, but
Texas,
you know, Joe Torre can run up and down the
court. Joe Torre.
Oh, Dwayne Martin.
Yeah, Dwayne Martin. Alan Payne.
But yeah, though, Tammy, there's a few of them out there that go. Like, I know them because I've been in the street ball celebrity world for a minute. So yeah, it's a few actors, ball players, people out there that really get it in.
Brian
McKnight? Somebody just texted
me.
Why are you saying Brian McKnight like that? Brian McKnight had a jumper.
He got a jumper. Brian McKnight, he said he liked him in his dunk thing. This is interesting, you know, because I know Brian McKnight. Shout out to Brian McKnight. What's up, man? Oh, man, even Tank, you know what I'm saying? You know, Tank, he's trying to get his hoop in.
Jamie Foxx can shoot a little bit.
I saw you one time play with Nelly, right? Didn't you play with Nelly one time, Inches?
Back in the day, when I was sick with it, we were out there at St. Louis.
Doesn't Warren G hoop too, right?
I don't know if Dr. Dre plays at all.
Dr. Dre plays drums and beats.
Snoop's an athlete, right? We used to battle, but we always, you know, Snoop always, when we play with him, you know, we got the game.
Oh, gang, play.
What's up, gang? Shout out to Game and his brother, you know.
Yeah.
And Game and Chase, you know. It's a lot of people that do, my boy.
We did a commercial with Wayne Gretzky, right?
And
we
did a commercial with Wayne Gretzky. In the morning, we was playing Wayne. During lunchtime, Wayne Gretzky refused to go to lunch. He stayed on the court and kept playing while everybody went to lunch. I kid you not. After lunch, he was probably 70% better. He was that much of a serious competitor athlete.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You can look. You look it up. Wayne Gretzky. Look up Wayne Gretzky Tylenol. It's a basketball commercial. You saw it years ago. And then Wayne was like the main guys in it. Yeah. And I'm telling you, he got probably like 6% better from the morning to that afternoon. Now, I'm not saying he's a baller, but I'm just talking about the competitive spirit that these guys have.
Okay.
Tammy.
Yeah.
One more person. You watch Snowfall, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Snowfall, my boy Eamon Joseph, my Jerome.
Okay.
With the Jerry Curl, Uncle Jerome with the Jerry Curl. He can play basketball too.
Yeah, really?
That's the one we took a picture of, right?
That's the one we took a picture of, right?
That's Percy's game, right?
Exactly.
See, that's funny. You never know really hoop behind the scenes. You know what I mean? That's interesting.
Yeah, that other kid, Mursala Ali, y'all know he played D1. Mursala Ali, the guy from Big Time. Remember when he did that? Y'all know Mursala Ali?
He
played D1. He can go.
That's what's up. Okay. That's what's up. Yeah, it's a lot of people out there that can act and play. You know, they wish basketball was their first game. Football players wanted to be basketball players. Basketball players wanted to be football players. So it's worldwide.
I forgot another person. We got Jaleel White, you know, Jaleel White, Oracle, Jaleel White. And then we got Wood Harris. Wood Harris. Wood Harris, you know, he hoops.
Well, yeah, why they can't jump, right?
There's a whole lot of people.
Not why they can't jump. Let me shift gears. So what about NBA? Like, you know, you guys do street ball, slam ball. You know, what about NBA players? Have you ever played with NBA players? And, like, what are some of the best NBA players that you've actually physically ever, like, balled with, like, played with on the court?
You talking about Sickwood? You talking about me?
All of you, whoever. This is a jump shot, right?
That hip hop celebrity list was, it's longer for me with the players that I played with. I had the chance of playing against played in the NBA. It's like I could sit here and name too many people that I've been on the court
I want to say give me the top three. Five top
there
give
you
me
go,
the
yeah,
top,
so.
Top it's top three.
Top
that,
three.
That I played with or played against.
Yeah, like that you've actually been on the court with and play with or against, either one.
Okay. My top three would be Irvin Magic Johnson.
Legend. Well, hold on. That's a legend. Hold on. We got to pause right there.
That's what I'm saying.
What was that like?
I was on a worldwide tour with Irvin Magic Johnson. I was the run boy. I can't tell you all the stuff that I was doing. So, anyway, I was the young boy playing basketball and traveling the world with Irvin Magic Johnson, and he's a hell of a guy. I appreciate Magic Johnson for everything that he's taught me in basketball and taught me about life. He's a great, awesome man. So, anyway, off of Irvin. Now, what else you want to know, Tammy?
I don't know. I think you just dropped the mic right there.
I got a couple little joints over here myself because everybody double for sure.
Let me hear it, Vic. Come on, Vic Battle. Let's hear it.
Well, I was body doubling for Jordan when he did the Hanes and the Gatorade commercials. So we would be in New York hooping, doing doing breaks. But my greatest thing was, remember in 98 when the NBA went on strike?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
The day after the strike was lifted, I was at Balboa. Remember we used to play at Balboa?
Yeah.
I'm sitting down stretching, and this guy comes up behind me and taps me on the shoulder, asks me if I had next. I said, yeah, but you could get last because I wasn't going to have him run with me. He said, I got Kobe in the car. I said, tell him to get in here. Kobe comes in the gym, walks up to me, give me a pound. He said, I'm Kobe. I said, I know who you is. He said, who the team? Me, you, boom, 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 boom. He said, bet. Now, y'all remember in Balboa, they had that stage up there, right?
Uh-huh.
He went up on the stage. The dude turned out to be his trainer. Start stretching. Kobe ain't even touched the ball. He goes up stretching. We start balling. So now, back then, you know, I was still superhuman. Kobe, I catch the tip dunk it in. Kobe get excited and chest bump me. I said, he really going to play. I'm talking. So now, we balling. We win like three in a row, right? Kobe like, what's the record here? I said, I don't know, about six. Kobe said, I ain't going to miss no more. I kid you not. Kobe was jumping so high on his jump shot, right? The commitment that it would take to go block that is ridiculous. So now, then Kobe starts, listen to this, Kobe D'ing the dudes up, inline to inline. This what dudes is saying, dribbling the ball, backing up the court, saying, Kobe fouling, Kobe fouling. Because Kobe hit his fingers at half deep. So then they end up scratch. They was wild. They scratched Kobe in the under his on his neck down to the white meat. All that season when he had the free throw line, I could see and I could still see the scratch right there. We ended
oh
up
my God.
Eight in a row. We went eight in a row. Kobe signed the thing with me at the end. Said eight kill. and that's how I know Kobe. Then after that, I seen Kobe again when I think his name Monica somewhere, and I was surprised that he remembered me from, you know, from the gym. So, yeah, that's my story is hooping with the Kobe. That was crazy. You couldn't tell me I wasn't on a 10-day contract. I was wild.
Man,
out.
Yeah,
man. I feel that.
That's a mic. That's a mic. That's another mic. Another one. Another one. Another mic drop right there. Boom, boom. Are you kidding me? That
yeah,
is
then,
a story
and another
right
thing. This, now y'all know. Let me. Now a lot of people don't know this though, but like I wasn't as skilled a ball player as Sixwood and all of them. I could just jump real high, and I had the look. So I was booking all the Nike commercials and all of that stuff, and I felt like I should be better. So that's why I started back for more. So I they had me as the model for N1. When N1 came out, and I did the whole campaign with Steph Marbury. The NBA went on strike, so at the time, they didn't let Steph do the campaign, so I got the whole campaign. But the thing about Steph is, when we was on set, there was a guy there who was running the stuff, and Steph said to me, "What's the difference between him and you?" And that's what inspired me to start Hoop Shot. Because I was like 28, because I was old, you know, I came out, I was like 28, and Steph Marbury said to me, "What's the difference between you and him? Why he can run this whole thing and you can't?" That's what Steph told me. And I was like, I took that in, and that's one of the, that's inspired me to start Hoop Shots. And, you know, he probably don't even know to this day, because we did that commercial, but, you know, I didn't see him after that. And that was in, that had to be maybe in 99, maybe. It was earliest back in the day, though. But, yeah, so those are my three guys that were, like, icons.
So, wait a minute. Now, you just mentioned Hoop Shots, so we got to talk about that. So, tell everybody, because our listeners don't know what Hoop Shots is. So, tell everybody, you know, inspired you to work on Hoop Shots.
Talk
to our listeners, like, what is that about?
Well, Hoop Shots is I kind of run it more like a temporary agency, I call it, for ball players. And it was said I was doing all those commercials for Nike, Adidas, and the big companies. And then I started bringing other guys in. And when I first bought the guys, I bought guys in the Nike commercial. And they're like, "Well, Victor, you know you can't bring these guys because they don't have an agent." And then they called me back that night and said, "Well, Victor, can you tell that dude Ronald to come in?" And I said, "I thought you told me don't do it." It turns out that the clients wanted him. And then that's how I became a number that they have to have in the industry, because they realized that I would be able to connect with a real guy like Sixwood and actually get him to show up. Because the thing, like I said, about the, you know, ball players that are special like these guys, they are very private with their – And I don't call it tricks. I call it magic. You know, these guys are doing magic. So they're very private with it in who they're going to go play with and where they're going to show up to. And even a lot of these cool, you know, the kids, they're like, you know, you're telling them about something, and if you don't have a good rapport with them, they say, "No, I'm good." And you say, "No, but this is, no, I'm cool." And that's just how they are. So you really have to develop that with the guys, and that's one thing that I was able to do. And became, and that's why they know Hoop Shots. They call Hoop Shots because they know we got the real guys, you know, from Sick With It to Inches to the Michael Purdy, started back with Air Dog, Young Hollywood, Rasheed Byrd, you know, everybody got checks with us, you know, and that's what you know, professionalism is one thing, but what makes things professional is money. And my relationship with the guys is, you know, I help a lot, you know, people bought groceries dealing with me and hoop shots. And that's what it's about is using basketball to monetize and make some bread.
I love that. You know, and I like what you said too, and no disrespect when I said the words like tricks. I meant that in a good way. It's not really about tricks. It's really, I want to reframe from that word and actually replace it with skills. Like, to be honest with you, there's many different skills that it takes to win a game. I mean, I'm a boxer, so it's a game of chess, you know, and you have to beat your opponent. And how do you beat your opponent? Well, you have to have the right moves. So it's a chess move. And so really, yeah. I look at what is going on that court is art. Like, it's really a chess move. It's art. It's how you can outsmart somebody on the court, you know, because the goal is always the same, right? To drive the ball to the hoop. That's the goal. But how do you get it there? That's where the skill and the technique and the arts come together to form, you know, the magic that you're talking about that takes place on that court. So it's deeper than that. So I don't want to by any means disrespect by saying the word tricks, because really it's deeper than that. It's really an art form, and it's a beautiful art form. And it takes a lot of hard work and practice and dedication, you know, to be able to achieve something like that, because it's not everybody can see it that way. Does that make sense? A lot of people look at, here's the goal, here's the starting point, here's the goal, but there's a lot of things that happen in between there. So all of those moves are critical. All of those moves are critical. And I don't want to take none of that from you, any of you, you know, on this call, because I have so much respect for all that you do. And Vic, what I love too about you is that, you know, you're teaching athletes life after the sport, because a lot of times, you know, we age, we get older, and, you know, injuries happen, and, you know, the lifespan of the athlete, like, you're not going to be, you know, 80 years old, you know, playing the sport, but there are other opportunities. And so the cool thing about what you're doing is that you're using sports as a launch pad to other careers, and you're giving these athletes another way to be able to capitalize and make money and still keep that name for themselves, but also to venture into other arts. And I love what Sickwit said earlier, is that from Boys and Girls Club, he was able to venture into all different worlds that he probably would have never done in school, right? This was after school. He got into art. He probably got into things that he never would think that he would get into, but he tried different things. And that's really cool. I like what you're doing for this, because you're giving people a chance off the court, you know, athletes off the court, to be able to have an opportunity to have income coming in and to do something big and positive. And it's really about what you do with that stardom. Like, what do you do once you have that fame? You know, once you have that fame, mm-hmm. and make that name, what's next? You know? So, like, how has that changed things for you, Sick With It? Like, you know, because you've done commercials, you've done movies, TV. Like, what have these opportunities been like for you? Do you love them equally? Like, what has that been like for you?
It's been a transition. But, you know, the people that I have around me that strive me to do better every day, to know that, you know, I can branch off from basketball and still open up other avenues. I'm a natural entertainer on and off the floor, so I speak well. I try to, at least. And, you know, but it's like I said, it's just been a big transition for me to go from playing basketball all the time to trying to act and to actually getting a part and reading the lines, memorizing them, just changing all different aspects of my life into training and trying to help kids. I could have been training a long time ago. I just was still currently playing and still currently traveling all over and getting a check here and there, all-star weekend or whatever the case may be. So I just didn't want to go into training full time. But now I'm a full time trainer, and you know, it's making me realize that these kids need help, and these kids need help in a lot of different areas. But and like I said, it's on and off the court help. You know, we're trying to teach women how to be better ladies, better people. We're trying to teach boys how to become better boys and better men and hold somebody that's sitting on the side of you accountable for everything that they do. But my transition, it's just life. I'm looking forward to all the things that's coming. Like I said, Big Battle and Inches, they have my back accordingly. They hear about things. They call me. They put me on. They like, Sick, this might be good for you. This might be good for us. Let's sit down. Let's go to lunch. Let's go to dinner. Let's talk about it. Let's come together. And when people are on your side like that and God is running the whole ship, then that's how we come together and we work together so everything will work out for the best. So for me, naturally, I'm just looking for all the better things to come for me personally and for my boys Inches and my boy Vic Battle and all those my listeners, my family, everybody that's listening to this call, Tammy, you even. I want everything that you do and that you want to do to just flourish tenfold and hope everybody in life gets exactly what they want. And if nobody feels that about each other, you need to change your circle and handle it in a different way.
Man, preach. That was beautiful. You know, I want to ask you another thing. Somebody just asked me a text while you were talking, like, you know, do people, like, give you the same respect as, like, an NBA player, that you're giving them the props, right? Do NBA players give you the same props as, you know, to street ballers, like, and also, like, actors? Do they give you that same respect? Because, you know, it's like a boxer kind of going into MMA in a way, right? Like you're going into a new territory, right? Where it's not like your biggest skill set, right, is on that court, you know, street ball. So do you feel that NBA players give you that same respect, and also, you know, actors that's what their job is, you know, that's what they do for a living. Do you feel like you get that same love and respect?
Well, I honestly, me personally, I think when you give respect, you just really get it back in return. And a person reads your character within 30 seconds to a minute, then he knows what type of person that you are. So he knows the respect that he's earned, and the respect when you earn it is given the same way. So I would say yes for the NBA guys. They look at us like we're their little brothers. You know what I'm saying? They just know that their money is just longer, but the money is just not the only thing, because there's some people that's out there that without the money that they weren't necessarily better than. They just had a better opportunity and a better chance. So the love that they give back from the hard work and the hard fought blood, sweat, and tears that we went through, yeah, we get that love. And then from the celebrities, when I come around them and they acting, I know that they have that ability to want to play basketball. You know what I mean? And they really wanted to do that. So when we play in these celebrity games, show me their way,
yeah.
It's all love from the get. So yeah, I get love from both sides. They treat me kind accordingly. They respect me. They know who I am, and they not ashamed to say, "Man, I know who you are, bro. You know, come on, homie. You know, whoop." And they'll run the story down to you, because I'm the type of person, I like somebody else to tell the story about me. I don't like really telling my own.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
I like somebody, it's always better when somebody else speaks highly about you than you're speaking about yourself. And it's more awesome when you're not there. You never know how somebody treats you until somebody else tells you, because you're not really there to know the truth.
That's the aura.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's real. That's definitely very real. Well, I definitely thank you guys for, you know, sharing your stories tonight, and I hope to have you back on my show to kind of talk about the next, you know, projects and the big project that you're about to work on, Sick, with it. I mean, it's amazing. Again, you know, what Vic is kind of teaching us, like, it's a launch pad. There's so many things that you can do, and the sky's the limit. Like, there's no limit to what we can do, and the great thing about sports is that it's another launch pad to something else. You know what I mean? And you can, that's always going to be under your belt. You're always going to be a legend in that. But the great thing is that you know, you being great in the sport can launch you to other opportunities in life. And then with those opportunities, you're then giving back and doing camps and teaching kids and helping them, like you said, you know, boys become men and girls becoming women, young ladies, you know, and you know, living with respect to self and elevating them to do their best potential. Like, that to me is everything. When you can say that you've, you know, you've been there, you've conquered, you've done your thing, and then to be able to give back, I feel like that's the biggest blessing, and that's what we live for. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to do our best and then be able to give back. If you can do that, like, that's the blessing, right? Is when you can give back.
Definitely.
The blessing that you have.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, so with that, I want to thank you all for being on my show tonight. You know, I know that we went a little over, but I just, I know we went over, but I'm so intrigued and I didn't even get to all my questions. I just was kind of enjoying the conversation. It kind of felt more like I was talking to my friends on the phone, and it felt natural. I just really appreciate you all taking the time to be here tonight. I want to ask you, you know, your last thoughts, you know, and message that you want to share with the listeners tonight, as well as how they can follow you on social media or contact you if they, you know, have a project or something that they want to, you know, talk to you about. So those two things, if you could leave us with that tonight. Well, let's start with Inches. Inches, are you still there? Quiet over there. Inches, are you still there? Inches may have had a...
Can you hear me? There you go.
Yeah.
Am I here?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, so I want to thank you for being on the show. I just want to ask you, you know, where can people follow you in terms of social media, and what are the last thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with tonight?
First of all, thanks, you know, for everybody for listening. Thanks to my two of my friends, Sick Wade and Vic Battle, for being on the show. We miss Shakes. We won't get you next time. My thing is, you know, for us, you know, just respect each other. Put God first. Without God, we wouldn't be here. You know, He all makes it happen. Never give up, and stay tuned. You can look for me at Sean Inches Jackson 3, my Instagram, S Inches Jackson, Facebook. Otherwise that, man, you know, just stay tuned, you know, stay healthy, stay righteous. All right, keep your head up and keep your eyes open. Don't be blind to the world.
That's awesome. I love that. Thank you so much, Inches, for sharing that. Let's take the mic to Vic the Battle.
Hey. Again, love you guys. It was so good seeing you guys after the pandemic and all of that. Really meant a lot to me. Hoopshots TV, that's my Instagram. My studio is in Long Beach, Tuesdays. I do New Talent Tuesdays, and that's when you know, it's free. You come down, you can sit down with me and see if you want, you know, I'm an entertainment coach. If you want some coach, want me to help coach you on your career, we could work something out. Advice-wise, like I tell all my clients, you know, you take advice from people who've done things you want to do. And this is Hollywood. I tell people it's not who you know is who knows you. And it sounds the same, but it's not the same. So positive. So it is.
Wow. I've never heard anyone say that. It's not about who you know. It's about who knows you. Wow. That's deep. I've never heard anyone say that. I love that. That's really cool. How can people follow you, Vic?
Oh, yeah, my Instagram is Hoopshots TV. Yeah, that's, you know, the Instagram is pretty good. Victor Battle. Google me, get you right to my phone number. It's simple as that, you know.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Wow, that was really deep. I'm going to write that one down, put that on my quote wall. I like that. All
well,
right. Last time we...
Say
that. Huh?
Love you.
What'd you say?
I say that because a lot of times in Hollywood, people say, oh, I know Jamie Foxx. I know these people. And that's why I tell people, when they say that, say to them, how does he know you? And if you say, oh, you go to my mother church, then he don't know you. So it's no sense of even bringing it up. And that's the advice. My people, you know.
That's true. That's real.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. All right. Well, last but not least, Sick With It. How can people follow you, and what are the last messages that you want to leave for us, for all of our listeners?
Well, people can follow me at The Real, TheRealSickWithIt. The Real Sick With It, because there's a lot of fake Sick With It's out there. The Real Sick With It on IG and on Facebook, Robin Kennedy. That is me. Holla. If you want to know the truth, I will give it to you live. What I will tell you is to keep goals that are high, but within reach. If you find that you're keeping goals that are unreachable, that means you are lacking at your goal that you're trying to achieve, because it is not even fathomable for you to reach it mentally. And to back off what Vic said, I used to have a saying. They used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But now it is more than that, what Vic said. It's who knows you. Because you could be sitting outside the club, and that person that you went there to the club to see, you know him, but you still standing outside. It takes him to know you for you to get into the building.
Exactly.
That's what's up. And you know how people know you is by your actions and by what you do.
Exactly.
And by saying what you're going to do and doing what you say you're going to do, right? It's about actions.
Yes.
Speak louder than words. We can talk a good talk all day, but the proof is in the pudding. When you work really hard and you achieve your goals and you're at the top, you don't have to wear a name tag because people know who you are. And it feels really good when you don't have to wear a name tag and people know who you are. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you know. That's what you know. You really made it. So I feel like everybody here was just such in tune and on the same page, and I really learned some things tonight. But I really want to thank you for our triple threat tonight. You know, Sean is just Jackson, Vic the Battle, Sick With It.
You are
just amazing. And Sick With It, you're more than just Sick With It, right? You're Robin Kennedy. When you called me the first time, you said, this is Rob. I was like, who's Rob?
Yeah, that's a street ball name. I'm Robin Kennedy. You called me Robin before Sick. I know you really know me, so I got to look faster.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that. That was real. You were like, this is Robin. I'm like, Robin? Who's Robin? And then you're like, Sick.
What's really funny, Tammy, is Sean is Sean Jackson. I'm Robin Kennedy. Vic is Vic Battle, but we all got nicknames. And keeping it 100, when you got a nickname, that's two personalities that you living with. Some people got three. But, you know, I can't let Sick With It come into my home. My woman don't like Sick With It. He's not allowed into my crib. So Robin Kennedy got to walk into this house. It can't be Sick With It. She's going to be like, what? That nigga about to be homeless. Yeah, you got to keep it right. That's why I said, hey, keep it tight or keep it right.
Yeah.
That's so true. And I'm a Gemini, so I overstand you right there. You know, I'm Tammy, but I'm Miss Tammy. I'm Miss Tammy when I'm on a MIC, and I'm Miss Tammy on Tammy's TKO radio show. So I overstand you right there.
Yes.
Like, that's real.
Yes, yes.
That is very real.
Yes.
But I want to thank you all so much for being on my show and taking the time tonight. You know, it's just been a real blessing. And I had so many people blowing up my phone tonight saying how much you spoke to their heart and the message, and they love the stories. So, you know, just all of those make you who you are. I wish you nothing but success. And I hope that you can join me again on my show. And I just wish you all the blessings in the world. And for all those who are listening tonight, thank you so much for joining my show tonight. We're going to be back in 2 weeks. I'm going to be talking to the first female boxer ever in life. Like, she's the first sanctioned female boxer who fought her way into boxing. And she's going to be talking about being a vegan. We're going to shift gears. She's already been on my show one time, but she's going to come back and talk about the lifestyle of being a vegan, which I think is pretty interesting, and being an athlete at that. Being a vegan and an athlete, like that's a whole different lifestyle. So anyway, thank you all for joining me tonight. Wishing you all much blessing. And we are out. Do something positive. Stay positive out there, and stay blessed. Have a great evening. Good night, everyone.
Good night.